Today is El Presidente's 52nd birthday, and he has punished us all by making us eat a belly buster dessert at Smith & Wesson.
My tummy hurts.
We ask your forgiveness for any burps that may follow.
No, not one more wafer thin mint. No.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts. I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Jay.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jean.
I'm Asterman.
And I, yes, I am...
wearing green.
I am, actually, fit to burst.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, God, my tummy hurts.
Yeah, if we all start snoring partway through this podcast, it's because we have gone into an after-meal torpor.
So... burping aside, we move on to the news.
Hang on, you haven't introduced what podcast we're on. The number.
Haven't I?
No.
Latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts.
What number are we?
We don't say that till the end.
It's 497 if you want to know.
We do it at the end.
All right,
what
then.
What's wrong with you?
Carry on.
Don't want to now. And so without further ado, it is time for the news with El Presidente.
Woohoo!
You do the first one, Adam.
Yeah. Doctor Who News!
Yay!
New money-grabbing story charted. After a somewhat derided previous attempt in Doomsday, the BBC are trying their third all-encompassing Doctor Who story across various media.
Oh, I hate this.
Circuit Breaker.
Sounds great.
This one stars Joe Martin's fugitive Doctor. We spread over online prose, comic books, DWM stories, a BBC audiobook, a novel, a mobile game, and some Big Finish audiomongery.
Okay, why? I'm up for some Big Finish. Otherwise, it's all over the place.
Yeah. It is. The whole thing kicks off in late June via a story on the UNIT website, part of the BBC Studios Doctor.tv website, and carries on via various media until the end of September. This time, there's a useful chart that shows all the parts and when and where you can find them.
When it comes to reviewing that, we won't be, because we can't be bothered with all that.
Yeah, basically.
And do you have to buy Doctor Who magazine to get the chart? Or
No, I think it's on their website.
Okay, right.
The chart is freely available, but some of the stories are on the website. Mm-hmm. But Puffin have got a book coming out. BBC Audio have got an audio book.
Right.
Big Finish have got at least one full cast and a couple of short stories, which are presumably audio books.
It's Joe comics. Martin, so I'm sure it'll be brilliant, but unfortunately... we probably won't be listening to it.
She's wearing
it.
A hat.
Ooh, yeah, cool. They tease this whole new outfit, which is basically the same as the old outfit, with a different hat. Shirt and a hat.
Yeah. It's very purple.
Is it at a jaunty angle?
Actually, yes.
Actually, that is at a jaunty angle.
Does this mean a new character options figure to tie in with Circuit Breaker?
Yeah.
It's such a shame, because I adore Joe Martin's Doctor, and I cannot stand these money-grabbing, put them across various different thingies.
The problem I had with the... I quite like the idea of the Timeless Victorious, but I know they're all kind of like peripheries off of it. I couldn't find where the main story was. There was no... one place where there was a main story I could follow it.
Well, what you needed was a handy chart.
But also, yes, I like comics, but I'm not going to go and spend a fortune on a comic book
just for that one story. Well, just do what we used to do when we were kids, just stand in the comic store and read it.
Yeah. It looks like there's 13 different things across various types of media.
That's just too much. And people don't have the money necessarily either.
Mm. Or the... No, that word's gone.
Where
inclination?
Inclination. See, I didn't even have the inclination to think of the word.
I think wherewithal would have been better.
Ooh. That's a good word. Used it well.
Thank you.
What's wrong with you?
Sorry.
Any more news?
Star Trek!
Anniversary time!
Yeah.
Strange new season 4 dated.
Ooh.
Current Star Trek might be at death's door, but it has a few more gasps, including the upcoming full season 4 of Star Trek : Strange New Worlds. There is now a trailer out, and we have a date for the first of the 10 episodes to appear on Paramount Plus, namely the 23rd of July. Next year, we expect the final truncated season to appear. I can get much more truncated than 10 episodes. And likely will be the second and also final season of Starfleet Academy. After that, who knows when we might next see new Star Trek on screens, either big or small.
Yes, husband.
There were dinosaurs.
Pardon? That was it. That was the trailer.
Yeah.
There were dinosaurs in the trailer.
Dinosaurs in the trailer.
Oh, the Strange New Worlds trailer.
The Strange New
Worlds. That is a Strange New World.
That is, very much so.
But this is still not the puppet episode.
It looked like a T-Rex, but
I'm
no,
somewhat
it's not
dreading
the puppet
episode.
Not the Muppet episode.
Puppet dinosaurs. Oh, well, Stranger Things news.
Ooh.
Animated Tales gets a second season.
Oh, I haven't seen the first one.
No, it's only, it feels like it only just dropped, even though I haven't been on Netflix for a while.
Yeah, I think it only just
Netflix have announced that Stranger Things animated spin-off Tales from 85 will be getting a second season. The series features the characters from the original series, all recast for animation and set between the second and third seasons of The Mothership. Like the first season, this will also be set in the winter of 1985, and this one will be released later this year. Well, okay, that's pretty quick turnout.
Yeah, Netflix is pretty quick in turning out their animated stuff. I know that some other series they did, it was only about like 6 to 8 months between seasons.
This will be similar, keeps
the buzz going, doesn't it?
I'd love to see here who they've got to voice Hopper, and does he have the same long-suffering...
Well,
Yeah. We'll have to watch and review that at some point.
Yeah, the first season, yeah.
Have to catch up to that one.
So how much they get squeezed into this winter of 1985, I don't know.
It was a long winter.
It was one to remember, wasn't it? Transformers and all of that.
But when they mean winter, is it the beginning of the year or the end of the year?
It's the entirety.
Okay. If it's the beginning of the year, they can then do summer, couldn't they? Or spring, summer, autumn.
No, 85, don't you remember? It was just the year of winter.
Okay.
The year no summer.
I remember 1985 very well. A lot happened that year.
That's when we met.
Yeah.
Yay.
Doctor in distress.
My mum, I had a really bad cold, so I really didn't want to go out because I felt like rubbish. And I sent my mum into town to our price to buy Doctor in Distress. And she's never recovered
mum to buy me my Optimus Prime for Christmas.
Ooh. I started working for my current employer.
Go on, she'll be retiring soon.
Yes, and I'm now looking at retiring.
Any addendums?
I have an addendum.
What is your addendum?
We're recording this on May the 4th.
Be with you.
Yes, the Star Wars Day. To celebrate Star Wars Day, Harrison Ford has launched his own signature Scotch whiskey.
Oh, God. Excellent. All that is on this.
Whiskey, not gin this time. No, not gin. Whiskey. Glenmorangie Highland Scotch Whiskey, marketed for under everything he wants in a whiskey.
Glenmorangie is already a whiskey.
Yeah, I know, but it's marketed by Glenmorangie, but it's got Harrison Ford's...
His special blend.
Special blend signature or whatever on it.
Any more?
No, that's just it.
We have a sad addendum, I'm afraid.
Yes.
As you all know, we've had a little four-legged friend helping us out on the podcast, Trixie Beans Wellard McDog. Mm. I'm afraid Trixie has gone over the Rainbow Bridge to be with Siobhan again.
Yep.
And I just want to die.
It's very, very short illness.
Yep.
She was with us during the last recording.
She made me laugh
uncontrollably.
Yeah. So, yeah, just to cheer you all up.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the news.
Ah.
Right, we have all been listening to something from those audio mongers at Big Finish. Some Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Pause for music. Right, this is an Eccles Pop.
Yep.
And it's called Dare You. And it was really good. A little bit sad in places.
Mm. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was done quite subtly, though. It left you feeling, what were they saying? They didn't tell you directly.
They never told you.
No.
Yeah. So basically, on the Powell estate, some people are doing silly things. Jackie Tyler is trying to take the centre can of beans out of a display and getting banned from Waitrose again.
I wonder what the first time was.
Yeah.
Someone else has shoved their 92-year-old grandmother's head into a birthday cake.
Someone else has taken all his neighbours' washing off the line and dropped it in the mud.
And someone at school went and tried to start a conga line.
He did, in the middle of a really serious lesson. Yeah. Someone is telling them, is daring them.
It seems they have lost impulse control.
Yes, because we all have those little thoughts, like, if I carved Keith's feet up, how high would his scream go? But I never actually do it.
Quite high.
Quite high.
I was actually very pleased to hear that this actually does happen to other people. I didn't know.
What if
it was
someone
just me having these
filter?
Weird thoughts?
I mean, some people, like Jean, never had a filter. So the fact that she's not spent more time in prison than she already has is a miracle.
Yeah. Don't let her near.
Possibly.
Hot liquids.
Or sharp implements.
Or Pepto-Bismol. Yeah. So basically the Doctor and Rose arrive, and it's something that is latching onto that little voice that we... that little thought we sometimes all have, what would happen if I jumped off this... that means you never actually would, and taking it away.
The standing at the edge of the cliff.
The call of the void.
That's it. Was it void or Boyd?
Void.
It sounded like they were saying Boyd.
I don't know who Boyd is.
Well, Boyd was an inspector from Waking the Dead.
Okay.
There's very a feel of the toy maker about this, isn't there? The mischief.
It all rotates around a pawn shop where this...
Which, not a pornography shop, a place where you can sell
pawnbrokers.
A pawnbrokers that nobody knew was there until recently.
Yeah. And it's been occupied by a gremlin kind of creature?
The Hellion.
Hellion.
Yes. Who's no relation to the Hellion we saw in, was it Galactic?
Yeah, the Galactic Song Contest thing, yes.
Well, it called itself a Hellion. It didn't actually have a name, so it called itself a Hellion.
I thought the Doctor called it a Hellion.
After it introduced itself,
it called itself a Hellion. He recognised the name,
okay,
but it named itself.
Yeah. It's a bit like Gollum type thing.
So you don't think it was mischievous? You don't think?
It's not a case of it. I don't think it was mischievous. I think it was very mischievous. Mm. It's just that the latest batch, I'd put this as the worst.
Oh, really?
It didn't really grip me all that well.
Oh, I was gripped by this one.
No, I mean, out of the latest Rose and the Doctor batch we've had recently, this one left me cold.
We've disagreed on something.
Do we have?
Yay! Yeah.
Fight.
I couldn't make out... basically, this little character, he pushes you over the edge. He gets into your brain and it
turns
off
that filter.
That little filter and it does things. But I couldn't get what it's getting out of it, other than mischief.
Yeah,
The mischief.
That's what it feeds off of.
I'm a bit like with Keith. I didn't dislike it, but this is probably one of the weaker ones I've heard for some time.
Yeah, okay. I love this one. I just got the feeling it was not a fully mature being because it was literally doing what we would do when we were 10 years old.
Yeah,
you know?
and when it's called, it was whining.
Wasn't it?
Then it all sort of changes at the end, doesn't it? A bit like the Listen episode, and all of a sudden you're at the void.
Yeah,
that was another thing that...
Of course, he doesn't like Listen, does he?
Well, no, it's not that. That was another thing that sat uncomfortably with me. One, it was called The Void or The Howling, or the which was exactly what the space between worlds at the end of Doomsday. So how the hell did the Doctor get there?
It's not very clear.
It all fades in and wishy-washy. And the spell that he cast?
Words have power.
I understand words of power, but we have that in a specific... magical setting for not the Krillitanes,
the Carrionites.
That is a designated, they use words as maths, as science. Mm. It seemed completely left field to me for in this story.
It
didn't mesh.
I had it along the same lines as the Zagreus rhyme.
It did feel a bit Zagreus, didn't it?
And I had no problem with that, the words, a rhyme setting something off.
Particularly as he's in the void at the time.
Natural laws don't apply.
Yeah, but how did he get to the void?
Well, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
The Hellion got him there. Because you notice he turned from mischievous and petty to downright nasty when he had use of a time machine.
And then he was scared once he'd unleashed the Doctor.
That's the one thing I did like. When Rose pushed him, because the Doctor had been making this thing about Time Lords, better control of their faculties than humans, etc. And the Hellion had never actually been able to go all the way into the Doctor's mind. He just kind of tickled the surface. Yeah. And there's part of me saying, well, is that enough to make the Doctor go into the void, or are you trying to draw something else here? Because it did seem it's something that the Doctor really wouldn't want to do, but it didn't take much to push him over the edge to do it.
I'm not sure he was actually pushed over the edge. Mm. I'm not sure if he didn't have a little dangle just to get done what
dragon
needed
fire.
To be done. He dragon-fired, but in a much more stylish manner.
There's nothing wrong with a little dangle.
Everyone should have a little dangle every now and then.
There was a couple of bits I really liked. One of them at the beginning is where Rose arrives to pick up her mother from the police station after she's been arrested for the baked bean incident.
Yep.
And the Doctor's like, no, this, you asked to come here, I'm not staying. And he's off again.
Get back at the flat.
Not getting involved. With Jackie.
And once again, Camille Cordery was just fantastic.
I can't fault the players in it.
Yeah.
She did very well in that scene where Rose phones
said
her up.
Whatever she said.
Yeah, we didn't hear what she said. Yeah,
I like the fact we didn't hear what she said.
But they kind of tackled it towards the end.
They did imply a few things in there. I felt like it was a bit of a cop-out. It's like the writer didn't feel confident that she could write it. But maybe it's better we don't know.
I kind of agree. I think they shouldn't have even hinted on it.
Maybe.
Then your head goes to all these horrible things she could have said.
Yeah.
Because everyone in this room, and if you say you haven't, you're a liar, has looked at someone they love and thought something horrible.
And then you think to yourself, why did I
think I'm thinking it now.
Yeah.
And also, as an old teenager, young adolescent, everyone's gone through the "I hate you"
it's
phase.
Not fair.
Because your hormones and everything else are racing. And Rose is still at that.
She's
kind
19.
Of, she's 19. Mm-hmm. She's still at that transition point where her hormones are racing. She's fighting against her parents instinctively.
Yeah.
So her brain is going to be going for all of that every pet child has at some point with their parents of, you don't understand me, you hate me, you don't love me, you don't this and what have you, because you're that little kid that's going, I'm not getting what I want, I'm going to stamp my foot.
But also, I love the way Jackie defended Pete.
Oh, yeah.
When the neighbour called him a loser and said Rose is probably cut from the same
cloth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was obviously before Doomsday and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is still, relatively speaking, pretty soon after Father's Day.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this is only the third episode. It means it's the third story in this set?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, and the first story was just after Father's Day.
Yeah. Bad Wolf mention.
And it was blatant this time, wasn't it?
Oh, I missed it. When was that?
It was something the Hellion was talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
She's frightened of this, that, and the other, and of the big bad wolf.
Yeah.
But that was another sad bit, was when it tried to convince her that the Doctor sent Pete to his death.
Yeah.
And it was all fresh and all raw.
Yeah.
And she was trying to defend the Doctor, but she's such a good actress, you could tell in her voice that it was getting to her.
The Doctor wasn't even there when he made the choice to go out and step in front of the car, was he? He'd been wiped at that point.
I like the Doctor's line about, it's not an urge to jump, it's an urge to fly. That was quite good. The one thing that didn't work for me is that out of nowhere, when they're talking about the void having nothing in it, Rose of all people turns around and says, don't be silly, it's full of dark matter and dark energy. Concept.
She's been learning from the Doctor.
That's
like when she tried to talk. From the beginning, she tried to talk down the Sycorax by quoting everything she'd ever heard.
I think the other thing with this one, a lot of it was noise. I don't mean that in a nasty way.
There was a terrible noise in a bit of it.
But a lot of it was audio clues, but it wasn't painting many pictures for me.
Okay.
I'm very much used to treating Big Finish a bit like I'd treat an episode of Doctor Who on the TV. I'm sewing, I'm listening to it, but I'm not watching it. And I can picture what things are, I can picture my geography and that in the story. This one, I started to lose track of who characters were and what things looked like, because there wasn't much descriptive element to a lot of it.
I mean, I thought some of the bits were a little bit overly described, like when they were in the pawnbrokers and this
to create the creature.
This creature was coming together. It was like, it was painful. How that one was described.
That one was a bit over to OTT. Yeah. But generally, I did find that some of it wasn't as illustrative in my mind as past ones have been.
I disagree.
I didn't have a problem with that.
I just kind of felt this one was the kind of story that only would really work in an audio format. I don't think this was worked in the television setting because it was so much audio cued.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was actually thinking about this at the time, about how it could go from being funny to terrifying with all the stuff at the beginning with Jackie and the beans and all that. Mm. That I was thinking it would make a good episode.
I'm just surprised at how much of a left turn this took with the Doctor sort of going into that void. Yeah. And summoning the endless ever scene or whatever it was.
He said there's going to be consequences. I'm not sure what I'm meant to take from that. Are we meant to put this in some kind of context of he's caused the beast or something else later on the line?
Go into the last story in the box or something? I'm assuming there's four stories in there.
This would have been, before they went to single releases, this would have been the end of that first box set.
Oh, okay.
So they had three stories per box set.
Oh, right.
And this is the Powell Estate trilogy. Mm. But they were doing, was it three or four box sets in a row in each cluster? So I don't know where it may yet turn up. Mm. But I did think it was a bit of a shame, given this was a pseudo box set or was recorded as a box set, if not released that way, that we didn't have more returning characters from the Powell Estate.
Yeah.
They are whole new characters.
Yeah.
Mm. Why not have some continuity with the characters?
You could, could have had
that's true. Yeah. Mickey's grandmother.
Mickey, or even the guy from the first box set, the first disc, turn up again.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, at the time, it did seem they were setting him up as a Mickey replacement.
Exactly, yeah.
Or the neighbour from the Slovene two-part on the telly that was telling Rose off. I thought that would have been a good character to have instead of the woman that Jackie was arguing it within this.
It surprises me as well, hearing stories like this, where if you think of how the first Doctor was, and then how you have Chris Eccleston played, and there is so much that has happened, and there's so much in the recesses of his mind, like the pulling all this information out. It's hard to believe that this is the same character from way back when in the 60s, sometimes.
He's lived on quite a life since then.
I think certainly the Eccleston era is where things certainly got a lot more serious and in-depth with the Doctor. I don't even think we had this even when the Seventh Doctor was around and all his machinations.
It kind of started with McCoy, because there was...
But there was some of that there, but not quite as much.
It didn't come to fruition, because there was, towards the end of McCoy's, they were going to start a thread about him being not necessarily just some ordinary Time Lord that went on the run.
Well, Ace was meant to go to the Time Lord Academy, wasn't
meant to go to the Academy, and it's going to turn out that he's one of the kind of like trifecta of Time Lords that helped them become the omnipotent species and what
Time
have
of Child,
you.
As we now call
but I think they were going to do it more on an equal with Rassilon and
Rassilon, Omega, and the other.
Yeah.
So they kind of started it then, that he was more than meets the eye. Because there's one point, I seem to remember in Survivor, where the Master says, you can't do that, only... You can't be. And it's like this kind of like, and then that died off.
I think that was, it was in there, but it was edited out.
Yeah.
Oh, was it
was lost due to time.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, there was that bit at the end of Silver Nemesis where they're in the garden listening to the jazz.
Yeah.
And Ace says, "Who are you?" to the Doctor. Yeah. Mm. And he just wiggles his ears. Mm.
There is a similar line in Death Comes to Time with, with the big finale, with you don't know whether he's died or not, but he's some sort of god.
Yeah.
But I mean, after a couple of million years, you're bound to have picked up a few things and tricks along the way.
At this point, he thinks he's wiped out Gallifrey, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The Daleks.
So. Yeah. He's the last.
And that's the thing. I think in some respects, that's the thing that I was surprised didn't get pulled out in this as the dark thing that, that this trickster was pulling on. It's just to send him to the void. Not the fact you've just killed your entire population of your planet and all the Daleks.
It's what the Doctor wanted to do but couldn't allow himself to do.
Yeah.
So obviously he'd already killed his people. What was he going to do there? And he knows secrets. He knows things that can topple universes, in theory. Yeah. And that's where he went.
Okay. Right, so we've watched Dare You. Some watched of us
it.
Loved
no,
it.
No, we didn't watch it. We listened to
no,
it.
No, we didn't, did we?
Yeah.
We've listened to Dare You. Some of us loved it. Some of us not so much. What did you guys think? Write to us via show.
At
staggering
stories.
Net.
Do we have pretty openings?
We do. It's Adam's birthday.
I hope I've got them all here. I haven't left anything at the restaurant.
Happy birthday to you.
Bread and butter. And butter.
Happy birthday to you.
We got commended while we were out today having our birthday meal for our singing of happy birthday to everyone who had a birthday surprise.
We sang a lot.
Did you get the joke on the envelope? Rocket about
Men in Black? No.
No, no.
It could have been.
That's a rocket.
Yeah.
That's Uranus.
That's not Jupiter.
I like the sophistication of, it must be a Men in Black joke.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's a puerile joke.
It's a pocket rocket heading to Uranus. Got my aberrations in it.
Happy birthday, Super Trooper.
Super Trooper. Oh, another. It's May the 4th today, so.
Yay!
Little Star Wars card, thank you. Beep, bop. R2-D2, thank you. It's a thick one. Oh, Dave's
what
rolling type? The knees.
Ooh,
indeed, thank you. Huh? Yeah. It's an Amazon.
You got a gift card?
Amazon card.
Excellent. Yep.
This one is attached.
Yes.
I'm going to do this. I have to open the present. Oh, there we go. I'm just looking
what the little gift is. It almost looks like a VHS size thing.
It does, yes.
It's a videotape.
I'd probably tell you could still play it if you were. Squiggles, a Doctor Who card. I don't see many of those about these days.
No.
Unofficial. Hiding behind the sofa. So, let's start with this one as it's here.
It's the videotape.
Is it the videotape? Maybe a Betamax, so it's not quite long enough for a VHS.
It took me ages to hunt it out. The
Oh, thank you. Oh, loads of stuff. Oh, Dr. 8.
Yay.
President Badlands and Mickey 17. Ooh, thank you.
Nice. Good. I liked Mickey 17.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Oh, shiny paper.
Shiny paper.
Shiny paper.
Woo!
Quite well wrapped. Quite well wrapped, but.
You found a way in.
He did.
It's a Transformer. It's Gigawatt! Yeah, thank you.
It's
again.
A what?
Gigawatt.
It's the Back to the Future variant.
Back to the Future. Transformer.
So now that you have two, can you open one?
Exactly, I will, yeah.
I can
turn it into the robot form.
Excellent, yes. Or you could have a DeLorean with open doors.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Endless possibilities there.
Indeed.
Hang it from the ceiling, maybe.
There's fire coming out the back.
Yeah. Just like it's one of the only
places in this room where you could possibly put other things.
Yeah.
Well, he's run out of room on the shelves.
Yeah. The place is full. The Running Man, new one.
Yep.
Which I thoroughly enjoyed.
It was really good, yeah. Yeah, I was very impressed by it.
Oh, can he get it out?
Yeah,
there should be a small one down the back of it first.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Well, a book down the back, down one side.
Ah, there we go, yes. Oh, there we go, there we go.
I want to see you do this.
Yep.
All right.
We've looked through, and it's awesome.
Star Trek Kirk Fu manual.
Yep.
Guys, the Starfleet's most feared martial art.
And at the very end, it's got Spock Fu as well.
Oh, yes, but it's Spock Fu there. He's standing there and clicking his fingers. Oh,
it's a Vulcan, neck pinch.
Vulcan neck pinch, yeah.
And if you notice, the shirt gets more progressively ripped the further you go in.
Ripped just enough to not show the the old corset. And now the tricky one to get out.
Yeah. You might have to get Jean to hold the other end so you can pull. Or you could just cut the bag.
Try not to look at it before I pull it out, as it were. So it's a mantle. Oh, excellent, thank you. It's a
wrist gun.
A Mandalorian wrist gun.
You have to wear it.
Okay.
Can you press the buttons? Have we removed the tag?
I don't know if there's a tag. Is there it?
I'm sure we can work that into an intro at some point.
Yep. I think what we need to buy him is some more space. And Shelby.
Yeah.
He's stuck.
And he's putting it on. He's going to go to work on Tuesday.
Just go to work like you don't even know it's there.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, yes.
Oh, got a bit of yellow on it.
Two colours, blue and yellow.
Yes, dear listeners, awesome. We are actual grown-ups that have jobs, pay rents and mortgages. And
some of us
age range tired. On the package?
Oh, Adam is. And above, isn't it?
Five plus.
Five plus. There you go.
I think he just qualifies.
With the plus.
Yes.
Unless it means plus just means any other number, so 50-something.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
That works.
Thank you all.
We would give you a hearty round of happy birthday to you, but we did that in the restaurant.
With an impressive firework.
With a firework, and ice cream and cake.
Which is why we all want to nap now. Yeah.
But we can't, dear listener, we cannot nap, because we have been watching Men in Black 2. Pause for music. Okay, Adam, birthday boy, take it away.
Oh, Men in Black 2. It's like Men in Black, but a sequel.
Oh, well done, Adam.
Some of us watched.
We would like to know what you think.
Some of us watched this more than once.
I watched it 1.5 times because I fell asleep. This is basically follows on from, obviously, Men in Black 1.
Yes.
Kay has now reabsorbed himself into society. He has no memory.
This is 5 years later chronologically.
He's retired. He's been mind wiped. He works for the post office.
It's 5 years later in real time.
And Jay is the Billy Big Bollocks of the MIB now.
That's Jay from there, not me.
No, well, you're
the Billy Big Bollocks. What's the size of your bollocks?
Only Jace doesn't seem to be able to keep an assistant for very long before he mind wipes.
That one that we were introduced to that just started crying.
And said, you're going to mind wipe me. No, I'm not taking out the mind wipe.
You bought me somewhere public, bought me pie to wipe my mind.
Now, this all starts because years and years and years ago, Jay was meant to send was meant to send something called the light out into space.
The light of Sarthom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because some evil tentacly woman was after it and he wanted to protect it.
I'm not sure if it was a tentacly woman.
It
was a tentacly being that manifest or disguised as a...
We are told this through the crappy medium of a little sci-fi film with really bad special effects.
With Peter Graves doing the narration.
Yeah. And when the people in their costumes turn up, it says, not real aliens.
I love that, because that's based on the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Tentacly being is on the lookout for the light and has
Semolina.
Come back to Earth.
Has actually destroyed number of planets looking for.
She
the
has.
Light.
Yes. Because guess what? Spoiler music.
Tra-la-la-la-la.
Kay didn't send it out into space. He kept it hidden on Earth.
And strategically mind-wiped himself to remove all knowledge of it.
He did.
But left himself clues.
Who loved the civilization in the locker at Central Station?
Oh, yes.
Which one? By the end, it looks like there were loads of them.
I like that, and I loved all of the unveiled post assist people in the post office. They all turned out to be aliens.
Yeah.
And the only thing Kay was annoyed at was the one smoking in the letter dispenser.
Yeah, she don't smoke.
Yeah.
Because Jay does a bad thing. He becomes emotionally involved.
Yep.
He should have zapped flashy things to this girl, Laura.
Before he got emotional, she watches her boss get caught by the nasty tentacle Serolina and then whipped. So he breaks in half and turns into a ball of light.
Yep.
And she's not that shocked.
A ball of light and a Slitheen skin.
That's exactly what it is. It's a fart suit.
Yeah.
But before we get to him taking Laura back to the MIB, what was the name of that thing in the underground?
Oh, the worm.
Was it Jake?
No, I think
it was
Jeff.
Jeff the worm. Jeff the worm.
So there is this massive worm down in the subway in America, in New York.
Almost sandworm from Dune. It was big lots of teeth and eats its way through a train. So they're just left with, what is it, three windows of the front cab.
Jay hasn't seen it for a while and he comments, oh, you've grown.
How many cars are normally on a New York subway train, like a 5, 6 or whatever, for it to end up with just half a car left.
Yeah.
As well as that many people on there. I can't believe there would be that many people on a New York subway train.
I like the fact where Jay has to wipe all their memories after they arrive at the station, but he wipes them, lectures them, and then wipes them again.
But this is, you know, the story is finding the light, where is it hidden, protecting it from Tentacly Woman, and all living happily ever after. But as with the first Men in Black, it's all the little side things that are going on that make it so awesome. Like the phone call from Michael Jackson. Agent M.
Yes. I love the dog sidekick. What was his name?
Frank.
I loved Frank. And it's amazing, the CGI that they use to animate animals' faces hasn't really improved that much.
Not really.
So it still looked as bad as it did then.
Yeah. And the worms, the pervy worms that they discuss with Laura. They were great.
They were from the first film, weren't they?
They were in a small bit in the first.
Because they'd been suspended, hadn't they?
The worm guys.
Yes.
This is one of the things with it. I mean, it's 2001?
2002.
Mm-hmm. The special effects on it do still hold up.
The tentacles, maybe.
The tentacles,
not so much.
But it doesn't break the wall. It doesn't break your enjoyment of the film. It might not be as slick as HDAI now, but it doesn't look clunky. It's not like looking at a Ray Harryhausen compared to an AI.
Yeah.
No. And it was a nice 90 minutes as well. So it was constant.
Wasn't
paced
too long.
Very fast.
Yeah. That's just one of my favourite bits is when Kay returned to his former apartment, which has now got another family living in it.
Oh, yeah.
To the armoury. And he opened the wall to get to his guns.
And the dad sitting on the sofa was the director.
Oh, really?
I completely forgot that. Yeah.
And the thing is, at the time, Men in Black was very, very unusual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In so many ways, and the special effects, and it caught the zeitgeist at the time. And a second film is often never as good as the first, mainly because you know what's coming.
Yeah.
But I thought this one handled it very well. It didn't try to do the same thing. So often the second film tries to repeat the same first film. It was a variation on the theme, but it was enough to be different, I thought.
I disagree that I loved it, but I think it was exactly the same story. They were looking for a shiny thing. And the first film, shiny thing, was on the cat's collar.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second shiny thing was the girl. She had the bracelet on.
And they also upped what people loved on the first film. Yeah. To my opinion, I think too much.
I disagree with you there.
Watching this time, I wasn't as enamoured or taken with it as I was with the first. Mm. This is probably my own fault because I've watched it so much.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, I was expecting this. Oh, there's that, there's that. The worms were popular, so you upped far too much of the worms.
But they were bloody cowards
too scared.
And Frank was very good in small portions. They made him a partner in this film. And I think there was a bit too much.
Too much Frank.
This is my own personal opinion. Yeah. As I said, I think part of my feeling of moi this time round is because I have seen it so many times.
Mm. I kind of like that it reminds me how funny Will Smith can be.
Yeah.
And when he's not slapping people.
Yeah. And Tommy with his deadpan
he's
as well.
He's so wonderful with the delivery of all that stuff.
Yeah. It is worth watching just for Tommy Lee Jones.
And in the first one, doesn't he employ Will Smith's character? It starts the other way round, doesn't it?
Yeah, Will Smith goes back for him. But I did like the really tall baddie. I love the fact he turned out to be six really short, floaty things in a trench coat.
Rolling around on a Segway because he glided across.
We saw that in that
Powdy Dalek story, didn't we? The person looking for Davros. Yeah.
One thing that made me laugh far too much was right at the end where Laura's in the thing that's going to launch and he's counting down the fighting and he's won the fight and he falls and he lands on all that bouncy plastic stuff. And it takes him a ridiculous amount of time and wiggling to get off of the plastic stuff. And when he does, rather than running straight to her and hitting the stop, he straightens his tie first, brushes himself down, and then goes over and stops it at two.
You can have a dramatic pause.
Oh, but there was no dignity to it.
And she's constantly saying, no, you're getting beaten up. No, this is just normal. I'm winning.
I try to remember, it's literally 10 years since we reviewed the first one, in May 2016. Did it end with K being neuralised?
No, he was back.
Oh, sorry.
K was back. He was a man in black again.
Yeah, but at the end of the first one.
Oh, the end of the first one,
It ended with him being zappy.
He was retiring.
The J flashy thinged him.
Right. Mm. It seems a bit of a shame they spent so much time getting K back on board. Yeah. I suppose it's just how they left the first film.
They had to get it back to zero again.
Because they
set the scene first with the new plot, then went and found Jay, then tried to get his memory back, and then for the last part he was back.
So clearly they had the idea that they needed to get him back. So they've got to write the story around getting him back.
There's a reason
why he has to be brought back in, and you can sort of feel the writer at work there.
Their relationship that made it work?
Oh, completely.
They're different walks of life. These are two people that under normal circumstances in American society probably wouldn't spend too much time with each other. And because of the way you got Will Smith doing the funny bits and the deadpan delivery just made it even more. Yeah. It wouldn't work. I mean, I like the other ones, but they're just missing that certain thing you've got with these two.
Yeah, it's chemistry.
I don't know if the second film was planned when they made and finished the first one.
I suspect it was
on the basis of
how well it did.
It's just been really well received.
Another little thing that made me chuckle, because it reminded me of Hitchhikers, was when it turned out the people who wanted to hide light were tiny.
It just reminded
me of the Vorlons screaming down on the planet and getting swallowed by a small dog.
The lands and everything else, and you got no spinach, and then the dog runs in, and then it's
one of the bits I really liked was where they arrive in the street, Jay and Kay, and after they've just been flushed, and we're all sort of like, you love getting flushed, every Friday, just like that.
You can tell there's a bit of ad-libbing going on here as well,
But no, I haven't actually seen the third film, but I probably will. Yeah. But it's just fun.
I remember the third film being quite good. I saw it at some.
I think the third film was better than the second.
Oh, I have to watch that then.
There's so time travel involved, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So much product placement in this one, though. I mean, the product placement was like very in your face this time.
Apart from Burger, because there was a Burger King in the arrival zone, wasn't it?
Sprint as well. Yeah. I mean, well, it's not that Sprint exists. It looked more like the
arrival zone looked more like a mall than an airport.
But there was a big thing around that era for product placement. It's still done, but much more subtly. But then it was almost like pick up a can of Coke and make sure you turned it so the Coke is facing the camera kind of style. That still goes on, but the film industry has learned how to temper it a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any more views?
I just thought the creature effects in particular, the practical aliens, looked really good. Mm-hmm. Some of the CGI is a bit ropey, particularly in the car. The green screen was so obvious. The blurred edges to them. But the actual creature effects were amazing.
I can remember seeing some behind-the-scenes photos, I mean, particularly like those bird-headed characters. I mean, that was all costume and prosthetic stuff.
Yeah, most of it was. Surprising amount of it was.
That sometimes, I think, still works better than CGI or AI or what have you.
Back then.
I think because it not only gives the actor something better to react to, and I think you get a better performance rather than a ping pong ball on a stick, but also, unless the prosthesis is really bad, it does seem to age quite well.
Mm. It's the difference between Phantom Menace and Serenity. Phantom Menace, yeah. They got them on the back of a green blob in a big green background and green screen, and they're meant to be riding a beast.
Yeah.
With Serenity, they put them in the back of a truck and swung them around.
Yeah.
The physics is better. The actors' reactions are better.
Yeah, more naturalistic.
Okay, Men in Black 2, tell us what you thought about it, because we all seem to really like it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It was fun.
Write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net. Woohoo! I am the man in black. I'm back breaking the back of the random attacker. So can the... And now, because one of our number insists on being with his wife...
God. It is a bank holiday.
Well...
I'm with my wife.
Excuse that,
exactly.
Something.
Yes.
It's over to... Crumbly's Corner.
Crumbly's Corner!
Hello, Crumbly here.
Hello,
Crumbly. I'm sorry about tonight's podcast, but it's the bank holiday and I'm currently enjoying the Hampshire sun with fake Crumbly.
No,
but I've posted another massive missive about what has been discussed here tonight.
Okay.
First up is Men in Black 2, marking a triumphant return for Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones as agents J and K, monitoring alien activity on Earth. It kicks off with the actor Robert Graves hosting a rather hokey-looking science program, debunking the myth of the Men in Black and the visitation to Earth by an alien delegation, hoping to entrust the Men in Black with an object that is sacred to them. Fast forward 30-odd years, and Will Smith is breaking in a new recruit and dealing with something large and rather worm-like with a bad attitude that is lurking in the New York subways. No Agent K's aid and abet him, as he was neuralized at the end of the first movie and is now a postmaster in Truro, Massachusetts. It's down to getting Agent K's memories back, as he is the only one who knows how to solve the current predicament they are in. A special shout-out must go to Agent Frank the Pug, who can match Will Smith for wisecracking, and the alien worms, who help Agent J in his mission. What else? The fact that the Mercedes that Agent K drives has a white male autopilot.
Oh, yeah.
The fact being that if it was black, it would be constantly being pulled over by the police. And also the civilization that lives in a left luggage locker at Grand Central Station. All in all, at the adds to the movie's overall daftness. While we're on the subject of Will Smith, a work colleague of mine went to see him in concert at the Brixton Academy a few months ago. All very entertaining, complete with a rendition of the hit song Men in Black, complete with dancers dressed as grey aliens up on stage. However, if you want songs about the Men in Black, that's a more darker and more sinister, you can't go far wrong with the album The Gospel According to the Men in Black by British punk band The Stranglers. On to our regular Doctor Who segment, and it's Chris Eccleston and the Family Tyler stepping up to the plate once more. Why, oh why, is the Powell Estate such a magnet for all things extraterrestrial?
Good question.
This time in the shape of a newly opened pawn shop that appears on the estate. People are succumbing to impulsive behaviour and deeds, apparent because a voice is whispering, "Dare you," in their mind. The Doctor and Rose find out it's down to a mischief-making alien called the Helion. However, it turns out the main antagonist in this episode is not the Helion, which turns out to be a rather pathetic golem-like creature. But what happens when it dares the Doctor to do something and what it is unleashed? It is very much a lesson in what happens when the Doctor loses self-control. Another fine offering from the audio mongers at Big Finish. Christopher Ecclestone is the first link in the New Who chain, and it's always good to hear him on Big Finish Productions. Anyway, enough of my ramblings. I'll be back in the studio for the next podcast. So until then, this is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Thank you, Crumbly.
Thank you, Crumbles.
Do you know, I know someone who really, really did not like that one. Because he objected to the idea of the Doctor falling for that. Just really? Sitting over there.
That wouldn't have... It'd never have
it would never have happened to him.
Never happened to him.
No.
No.
1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee!
Hello, Terence.
Dave's... Inky and Dinky squirts a lot.
Davezilla the Mighty.
Terence.
Folded up and propped against a radiator, Clara.
Sandy.
Dangerous Churchill.
Grunhilde Knobknacker.
As it's May the 4th, we've got Grogu here.
Goo-filled
Grogu.
Oh, dear.
I think the Third Doctor, his impulse would be to punch somebody.
Yeah. I think you're not wrong there.
No, not punch. Yeah. Not punch.
Venusian, I hear it.
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say lead us out Crumbly, but he can't.
No.
Dead.
He's not dead. Just hurt him.
Dead.
Lead us out, Karen.
To death.
And so that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Thank God.
But fear not. Next time there'll be more of the same.
Don't say it.
Fun, frivolity and jollity. More news and reviews. More who old and new.
You said
so
it.
So until that.
Oh, M? F for full.
Fabulous, fantastic, ferocious.
Fandabidozy.
Fellatio. Fandabidozy.
Frolicking.
Flummoxing.
Flummoxing. Flummoxing. Towards us. This is me, Fake Heath, saying farewell.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Sometimes it is better to light a flamethrower than to curse the darkness.
Well said. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, series 1, number 497, featuring Adam Purcell, Fake Keith, Gene Riddler, Asdaman, Jay, and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
That was the first burp.
Am I working? Am I on? Tap, tap, tap.
Right, now we're going to be quiet now. I want no silliness.
Or burping.
Well, burping's fine because we can put that at the end. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
I thought you said no silliness.
I didn't do silliness.
Silliness happened.
It was him. It was
silliness
him.
Silliness happened.
No.
You laughed first.
I didn't. He did. That was a high-pitched, girly giggle from over there. You failed. Oh, excuse me. Damn it. Please excuse me.
For real?
I like that little finger that goes with it.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me.
Wow. You're getting the full range here.
I'm sorry. I do the burps. The burps I do.
She'll start speaking in tongues in a minute.
I know somebody who could say the whole word of helicopter landing pad.
In burps,
all in, all in the burps.
I could do the alphabet, much to my eldest grandson's delight.
Yeah, but you usually feel very, very sick afterwards.
Oh, yeah, it feels horrible. Mm. As I said to Keith, it worries me that my entire legacy with that boy is going to be, oh, yes, my grandmother could burp the alphabet. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, series 1, number 497, featuring Andy Simpkins. No, stop that again.
Well, sort of.
In voice form.
Yeah, we're all in voice form.
Yeah.
Do you know it's considered really old to say the WWW, yet we do it all the time?
Good!
Do you know why we do it very little time?
Because we're very old. Yes. Turn off your microphones.
Bye.
Final podcast.
Dare you.